Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you all came back. Thank you.
Dejligt, alle sammen at komme tilbage. Tak for det.
Let's open with prayer, please.
Lad os begynde med en bøn.
Gracious Heavenly Father.
Nådige himmelske far.
We thank you for granting us a good night's rest.
Tak fordi du har skænket os en god nats hvile.
We pray, Lord, for your strength to meet the tasks ahead of us this day.
Vi beder dig, Herre, om styrke til at møde de opgaver, der ligger foran os denne dag.
And as we approach your word once more.
Og når vi nu igen kommer nær dit ord.
May we do so with humble hearts and receptive ears.
Så beder vi, at vi må gøre det med ydmyge hjerter og lydhøre ører.
Speak to us and lead us and guide us.
Tal til os og led os, vejled os.
Put us to death and raise us to new life.
Lad os dø og blive oprejst til nyt liv.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Gennem Jesus Kristus, vor Herre.
All right. Good morning. It's with fear and trepidation that I come to you this morning.
Det er med frygt og bæven, at jeg kommer til jer denne morgen.
We're going to look at one of the most well-known parts of all the Bible.
Vi skal se på en af de mest velkendte steder i hele Bibelen.
The parable of the prodigal son.
Lignelsen om den fortabte søn.
Although I've heard people call it, and I think it is true, that it's better called the parable of the prodigal father.
Og jeg har hørt, at mennesker nogle gange kalder den, og det er måske bedre, lignelsen om den fortabte far.
So, if one of you would like to read Luke chapter 15 verses 11 through 24, that will get us started.
Vil en af jer begynde at læse fra Lukas kapitel 15 vers 11 til 24?
Han sagde også, at en mand havde to sønner. Den yngste sagde til faderen, far, giv mig den del af formuen, som tilkommer mig. Så delte han sin ejendom imellem dem. Nogle dage senere samlede den yngste alt sit sammen og rejste til det land langt borte. Der ødslede han sin formue bort i et udsvævende liv. Og da han havde sat det hele til, kom der en streng hungersnød i landet. Og han begyndte at lide nød. Han gik hen og holdt til hos en af landets borgere, som sendte ham ud på sine marker for at passe svin. Og han ønskede kun at spise sig mæt i de bønner, som svinene åd, men ingen gav ham noget. Der gik han i sig selv og tænkte, hvor mange daglejere hos min far har ikke mad i overflod, og her er jeg ved at sulte ihjel. Jeg vil bryde op og gå til min far og sige til ham, far, jeg har syndet mod himlen og mod dig. Jeg fortjener ikke længere at kaldes din søn. Lad mig gå som en af dine daglejere. Så brød han op og kom til sin far. Men mens han endnu var langt borte, så hans far ham. Og han fik medynk med ham og løb hen og faldt ham om halsen og kyssede ham. Sønnen sagde til ham, far, jeg har syndet imod himlen og mod dig. Jeg fortjener ikke længere at kaldes din søn. Men faderen sagde til sine tjenere, skynd jer at komme med den fineste festdragt og give ham den på. Sæt en ring på hans hånd og giv ham sko på fødderne. Og kom med fedekalve, slagt den og lad os spise og feste. For min søn her var død, men er blevet levende igen. Han var fortabt, men er blevet fundet. Så gav de sig til at feste.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions?
Er der nogen spørgsmål?
You're gonna go with my questions.
Okay. Right. Vi prøver at følge de spørgsmål, jeg har lagt frem.
If we go back to the beginning of the parable.
Lad os gå tilbage til begyndelsen af lignelsen.
In verse 12.
Vers 12.
And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the share of property that is coming to me.
I vers 12 står der, den yngste sagde til faderen, Far, giv mig den del af formuen, som tilkommer mig.
What is wrong with that?
Hvad er der galt med det her?
Is there anything wrong?
Han gør krav på sin arv. Altså han stiller, han kræver sin arv, som jo arven skulle ellers blive, når barnet er død.
He makes a claim for his inheritance, which should only be shared or distributed after the death of the father. Exactly. Exactly. So what is he saying to his father?
Så hvad er det, han reelt siger til sin far her? Anne Line.
Jeg vil ønske, du var død. I wish you were dead.
Bingo. Yeah. He's saying to his father, I wish you were dead already.
Ja, han siger til sin far, jeg vil ønske, du allerede var død.
Interesting, isn't it? And the text makes a specific emphasis of the word father here.
Og teksten fremhæver særligt ordet far her.
He comes and says what he should say, father.
Og han kommer egentlig og siger, hvad han bør sige, far.
But he does so in a very insulting way.
Men han gør det på en meget fornærmende måde.
Yeah. Father, I wish you were dead. I want my money now.
Far, jeg vil ønske, du er død. Jeg vil have mine penge nu.
So if you were this boy's father, what would you have done?
Så hvis du var den her unge mands far, hvad ville du så have gjort?
Yeah. Yeah. Would you have gone, okay, there it is.
Ville du have sagt, ja, fint, her er det.
And particularly in the Middle East, the ancient Middle East.
Og særligt i det gamle Mellemøsten.
Jesus's listeners would have expected the father to have probably disciplined his son very, very seriously.
Og Jesus tilhører ville formentlig forventet at den her far ville have irettesat sin søn meget kraftigt.
But what does the father do?
Men hvad er det faren gør? Ja, han giver ham pengene.
He gives the money to him. Yeah, the unthinkable. He actually does what the son requests.
Han gør det utænkelige. Han gør faktisk, hvad sønnen beder om.
No father would have ever done that. And so Jesus' audience would have probably gone, whoa.
Og ingen far ville nogensinde have gjort det. Og Jesus' tilhører har nok været meget overrasket.
The father allows himself to really be humiliated, not only among his family, but among the community.
Og faren tillader, at han på den måde bliver ydmyget, ikke bare i øjnene for sin familie, men også det samfund, han er en del af.
So in these first two verses, who's also present beside the younger son and the father?
Så i de her to vers, hvem er til stede ud over faderen og den yngre søn?
Hiding in the background. The older, yes. It starts off.
Den ældre bror er der også.
Yeah. And he said there was a man who had two sons.
Han siger, der var en mand, der havde to sønner.
And at the end of verse 13, and it said, and he divided his property between them. The end of verse 12.
Og så står der i slutningen af vers 12, så delte han sin ejendom mellem dem.
So, the older brother is there at the beginning.
Så den ældre bror er der fra begyndelsen.
And what should the older brother have done?
Hvad burde den ældre bror have gjort?
Protesteret.
He should have objected.
Yeah. Yeah. When the younger son came and said, I want my money.
Da den yngste søn kom og sagde, jeg vil have mine penge.
The elder brother should have said, you can't say that, you can't do that.
Så skulle den ældre bror have sagt, det kan du ikke sige, det kan du ikke gøre det her.
And the older brother should have also served to try and reconcile his younger brother and his father.
Og den ældre bror burde også have forsøgt at forsone den yngre søn med faren.
In the Middle East, whenever there is a dispute among two people,
når der kommer uoverensstemmelse mellem to mennesker i Mellemøsten.
They always bring a third person in to try and settle the disputes.
Så bringer man altid en tredje person ind for at prøve at mægle.
And this would have been the elder brother's responsibility.
Og det ville have været den ældre brors ansvar.
But what does the elder brother do?
Men hvad er det han gør?
Nothing.
Han gør ikke noget.
Yeah. He takes his money too.
Han tager også sin penge.
But we'll hear more about him tomorrow.
Vi vil høre mere om ham i morgen.
Okay. So in the next verse we see that the younger brother doesn't stay around very long.
I det næste vers ser vi at den yngre bror ikke bliver der ret længe.
Why not?
Hvorfor ikke? Now he had become a rich man who should enjoy himself.
And how would he have been viewed in the community, in the village?
Hvordan ville landsbyen have set på ham? They would have despised him.
Yeah, they wouldn't have liked him.
De ville ikke have brudt sig om ham. Det er rigtigt.
Yeah, they probably would have viewed him as a spoiled little brat.
De ville have set på ham som en forkælet møgunge.
Yeah, insulting his father, wishing him dead.
Der fornærmede sin far og ønskede, at han var død.
No wonder he left very quickly.
Der er ikke noget at sige til, at han skyndte sig at stikke af.
And so he goes to a foreign land, we don't know how far away.
Så han tager væk til et fremmed land, vi ved ikke, hvor langt væk.
And he squanders his father's capital.
Og han øsler sin fars formue væk.
We're not told on what, but he squanders it, he just wastes it.
Vi får ikke at vide præcis på hvad, men han øsler det bort og taber det hele.
And then comes a famine.
Og så kommer der hungersnød.
And he ends up feeding pigs.
Og han ender med at være svinehyrde.
Is that a good thing for a Jewish boy to do?
Er det fint for en ung jødisk mand at være svinehyrde?
In Denmark it might be a good thing to do.
I Danmark kan det godt være, at det er fint nok at passe svin.
But not for a Jewish boy.
Men ikke for en jødisk dreng.
Why not?
Hvorfor ikke?
Det er urent dyr.
Ja, pig was an unclean.
Unclean, animal. Yes. Yeah. And this though was the only job he could get.
Ja, og det her var det eneste arbejde han kunne få.
And if there was a famine, everyone would have been looking for work.
Hvis der var hungersnød, så ville alle have lidt efter arbejde.
And so he took what he could get.
Så han tog hvad han kunne få.
And he longed to eat the pods that the pigs were being fed.
Og han ønskede at mætte sig med de bønnersvin noget.
And these pods were pods that had no nutritional value for humans.
Og de her bønner var noget som ikke rigtig havde næringsværdi for mennesker.
You could eat them and they would make your stomach expand, but they would have no nutritional value at all.
Man kunne spise dem og maven ville blive fyldt, men de ville ikke have nogen næringsværdi overhovedet.
Then verse 17.
Vers 17.
And verse 18 and 19.
Og 18 og 19.
He comes to his senses, or he comes to himself.
Han kommer til fornuft, eller han gik i sig selv, som der står.
What does that mean?
Hvad betyder det? He regretted.
Yeah. I'm in trouble.
Jeg har problemer.
Big problemer.
Store problemer.
Yeah, I'm starving.
Jeg sulter.
And he comes up with a plan.
Og han lægger en plan.
Is what he says in verses 17, 18 and 19, is that repentance?
Det han siger i vers 17, 18 og 19, er det anger.
But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. And then verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am not worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.
Han gik i sig selv og tænkte, hvor mange daglejere hos min far har ikke mad i overflod, og her er jeg ved at sulte ihjel. Jeg vil bryde op og gå til min far og sige til ham, Far, jeg har syndet mod himlen og dig.
Is that repentance?
Jeg fortjener ikke længere at kalde din søn. Lad mig gå som en af dine daglejere. Er det anger?
Han var sulten.
Well, he was hungry.
He was hungry. Why was he sorry?
Hvorfor var han ked af det? because he was han havde skidt. He was not doing well.
Yeah.
He was feeling bad.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that he does repent a little bit. I have sinned, he says.
I have sinned. What is his sin? What does he think his big sin is?
Hvad er det han tror hans store synd er her? Well, the sin is against the father.
The father, yes. Yeah. And what is his sin against his father?
Og hvad er hans synd mod faren?
Han er løbet tør for penge. Han har brugt de penge.
Sin is he has run out of money.
Bingo! Exactly right.
Det er præcis det. Han er løbet tør for pengene.
He sees his sin in monetary value.
Han ser sin synd i værdien, i pengemæssig.
The sin against my father is I've wasted his money, my inheritance.
Synden mod faren er at han har forspildt sin arv.
And so he comes up with a plan.
Så nu lægger han den her plan.
Some biblical scholars think this is repentance. I do not.
Nogle bibelforskere mener at det her er anger. Det synes jeg ikke.
Because look at his confession.
Fordi se på hvad det er han bekender.
Han ærger sig over, at han ikke har det på samme måde, som hvis han var hjemme hos sin far. Nu skal han gå ved grisene.
Yeah, he feels bad that he does not is not as well off as if he was with his father. Now he has to stay with the pigs.
Yeah. His problem is he's sorry that he ran out of money, and he's sorry he's wasted his father's money. But if he still had money, he'd still be enjoying himself.
Ja, han er ked af, at han ikke har flere penge, og han har forspildt farens arv. Men hvis han stadig havde penge, så ville han stadig have det godt.
And he comes up with a plan to go home and save face.
Og hans plan er, at han kan komme hjem og på samme måde redde ansigt.
Let me give you an example from an experience I have.
Lad mig give jer et eksempel fra en af mine egne oplevelser.
I was dealing with a person who got caught in a sin.
Jeg havde et menneske over for mig, som var blevet taget i en synd.
And the person said to me, "Pastor, I'm very sorry."
Og personen sagde til mig, "Pastor, jeg er virkelig ked af det."
And I said, "Can I ask you one question?"
Jeg sagde, "Kan jeg stille dig et spørgsmål?"
Are you sorry that you did this? Or are you sorry you got caught?
Er du ked af at du gjorde det her, eller er du ked af at du blev opdaget?
If you had not got caught, would you still be doing this?
Hvis du ikke var blevet opdaget, ville du så stadig være her?
And honestly, they said I'd still be doing.
Og han sagde nej, jeg ville stadig gøre det.
Then they weren't repentant.
De ville ikke angre, hvis det var at de ikke ville være kommet og havde sagt.
Yeah, they were just sorry they got caught.
Så ville de bare være ked af, at de var blevet opdaget.
This guy was just sorry he ran out of money.
Ham her var bare ked af, at han mistede penge.
Yeah.
Peter?
What does it mean that he is saying, I have sinned against heaven and you? Mm-hmm. Not only,
father, yeah.
Okay.
Towards God.
Hvad betyder det, at han siger, jeg har syndet mod himlen, og der er ikke kun mod faren, men også mod Gud?
Very good question. I like that question.
Godt spørgsmål. Det kan jeg godt lide.
And I think he understands that he has done something wrong.
Han forstår at han har gjort noget forkert.
And he understands that he has sinned against his father and probably against God as well.
Og han forstår at han har syndet mod sin far og sikkert også mod Gud.
But what does he do? He comes up with an idea.
Men hvad er det han gør? Jo, han lægger den her plan
to make things right.
For hvordan tingene kan blive gode igen.
He says, I will go home and I will become my father's hired man.
Og han siger, jeg vil tage hjem og blive min fars lejesvend.
And he's trying to repay his father.
Han prøver at betale faren tilbage.
And make things right.
Og gøre tingene godt igen.
Perhaps with the father and even with God.
Måske i forhold til faren og også i forhold til Gud.
As a hired man, he would get a salary.
Som en daglejer, så ville han få løn.
He could live in the village, not in his father's house.
Han kunne bo i byen, godt nok ikke i sin fars hus.
He could go to work for his father.
Han kunne arbejde for sin far.
Get his paycheck.
Og få sin lønseddel.
Go to his father and give the father back money each week or month.
Og gå til faren og betale ham gradvist tilbage.
And hopefully after a while repay his debt.
Og forhåbentlig efter et stykke tid have betalt sin gæld tilbage.
And then make himself on an equal footing again.
Og så igen være på lige fod.
And so I think his plan is to make himself right again with his father, with his family, with the community, and even with God through his work.
Så jeg tror hans plan er, at han gennem sit arbejde tænker, at han kan genrejse sig selv i forhold til sin familie, sin far, det samfund han er en del af, og også Gud.
Does that make sense?
Giver det mening?
And so even if he has sinned against God, and he has, he's still trying to make it work right through his own work.
Så selv hvis han har syndet mod Gud, og det har han, så prøver han stadig at gennem sin egen sit eget arbejde at genoprette det.
Was there a hand back there? Yeah, several hands.
Nej, jeg synes ikke det er nogen rigtig venlig fortolkning af hvad han siger. Man kunne godt være lidt mere tage hans ord for givet. Jeg har syndet mod himlen og imod dig. Jeg er ikke værd at kalde din søn. Det kunne godt, for mig lyder det som en virkelig omvendelse. Man kunne godt fortolke det der venligere, synes jeg.
Well, it's kind of, it's an unkind interpretation, I think, that you have given. He does, after all, say, I have sinned against
you,
my father, yeah. And against heaven. Mm-hmm. And there is real remorse there.
Okay.
Take his words as they stand, you know.
In my example I gave in talking to this person, they would say, yes, I have sinned.
I det her eksempel, jeg gav fra min egen erfaring, hvor der sagde personen, ja, jeg har syndet.
They knew what they were doing was against God's commandments.
De vidste godt, at det, de gjorde, var mod Guds bud.
But they still did it anyway.
Men de gjorde det alligevel. Bent, og så Anne-Line bagefter.
Ja, jeg synes, det var en rigtig god forklaring. Og i virkeligheden, så var det en præcis forklaring på, hvordan vi mennesker er, når vi rammes af loven. Men ingen af os kan jo gætte os til evangeliet. Men det kommer vi sikkert til.
Okay. Well, Bent says he thinks it was a good explanation of how we react as human beings when we are faced with the demands of the law.
Right.
But none of us can guess the gospel. Mm-hmm. But we will probably come to that.
Yes.
Later.
And if we hold on just for a minute, because the young man repeats his speech again, doesn't he? Later.
Ja, og den unge mand her, ser vi, han gentager sin tale, den han har forberedt senere.
But when he does, something's missing, and that's very important.
Og da han gentager den tale senere, så er der noget, der mangler, og det er vigtigt at bide mærke i.
Alright, yeah.
I think he is thinking and doing just like a Jewish people will do in such a situation.
Yeah.
He has sinned to God. Altså, han har syndet over for Gud, og derfor vil han gøre det godt igen, og det vil han gøre af lovens vej. Mm. Og derfor vil han betale tilbage det, han har gjort forkert.
Ja, Anne-Line siger, at det er sådan en normal jødisk tankegang for den tid. Han ville betale tilbage, gøre som loven siger.
I understood what you were saying. And I think that's for all of us. But also the context is Jewish, or Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes. That's who he's still addressing.
Ja, vi skal også huske på, at Jesus stadig taler til farisæerne og de skriftkloge. Det er dem, han henvender den her lignelse til.
Okay. Ready to go on? No, yeah. More questions? Ja. Yeah.
Inge observes that the turning point is that the father rushes to meet him And if the father had come already when he was tending the pig herd, then he may have repented already.
I think you're absolutely right. The key point of the parable is when the father comes to the son.
Ja, jeg tror du er helt ret i at nøglepunktet i lignelsen er der hvor faren kommer sønnen i møde.
Yeah, because if we go to verse 20,
hvis vi går til vers 20.
In verse 20, he arose and he came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion.
Så brød han op og kom til sin far, og mens han endnu var langt borte, så hans far ham, og han fik medlidenhed med ham.
What does it mean to feel compassion?
Hvad vil det sige at have medynk, føle medlidenhed?
At det medynk, må man ikke forveksle med kærlighed.
Well, you shouldn't confuse compassion with love. Empathy.
Yeah,
feels with him. And I empathy, but that's right.
In the New Testament, this is a very special word.
I det nye testamente er det her et særligt ord.
In the Greek, it's splagizomai. Try that one, yeah.
Det var på græsk.
Splagizomai. Stomach.
Det ligger
stomach.
I maven. Maven kniber sig sammen.
In America, we have a saying that it's gut-wrenching.
Det vrider sig i ham. Indvoldene vrider sig i ham.
It just takes your insides and just pulls them.
Det føles som om, der bliver flået i tarmene, i maven.
And that's, this word is often used of Jesus when he sees people and feels compassion.
Og det her ord bruges ofte om Jesus, når han ser mennesker i nød og får medynk med dem.
It means his heart is just, you know, I feel so empathetic for them. I want to help.
Hans hjerte, det smerter virkelig, og han vil så gerne hjælpe de mennesker.
And this word is always used for God or for Jesus.
Det her ord bruges altid om Gud og om Jesus.
And so I think it's very important in this passage.
Og jeg tror det er meget vigtigt i den her passage.
Because the father feels a divine compassion for his son.
Faderen han føler en guddommelig medynk med sin søn.
And the father runs.
Og faren han løber.
In the ancient Near East, in the ancient Middle East, did noblemen run?
I oldtidens Mellemøsten var det så kutyme at fine folk de løb.
No. How many of you run?
Hvor mange af jer løber?
Not anymore. I learned my lesson a year or two ago. Except you. Yes, exactly. I learned my lesson a year or two ago.
Jeg fik en lærestreg for et år eller to siden.
I was going to hospital to visit one of our members.
Jeg kom til sygehuset for at besøge et af vores menighedsmedlemmer.
And the bus I wanted to catch was at the bus stop.
Og bussen som jeg gerne ville have fat og med var på busstoppestedet.
And I began to run.
Og jeg begyndte at løbe.
Yeah. And there was the pavement had a gap in it.
Og der var et hul i fortovet. Og jeg stod på hovedet.
Thankfully about this far from the pavement, I managed to put my hands and stop myself.
Og få centimeter fra fortovet, så fik jeg hænderne ind foran og fik stoppet mit fald.
I decided from now on I'm never running for a bus.
Og der løb jeg ikke efter en bus mere.
And when you are in long robes.
Når du har en lang klædning på.
And you're an older man.
Og en ældre mand.
You don't run.
Så løber du ikke.
You have servants who run for you.
Du har tjenere der løber for dig.
But the father sees his son.
Men faren ser sin søn.
And he breaks all tradition, all custom.
Og han bryder med alt hvad der er sædvane.
And he runs to his son.
Og han løber sin søn i møde.
And he hugs him and he kisses him.
Og han giver ham et knus og kysser ham.
And he says to the servants, get him the best robe, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet.
Og han siger til sin tjener, giv ham den bedste klædning og sæt en ring på hans finger og giv ham sko på fødderne.
What is the significance of doing that?
Hvad er det, der er det særlige her, som vi skal lægge mærke til? Han bebrejder ham ikke, siger Cecil. He does not blame him, but he immediately helps him.
Yes. Whose robe would he get? The best robe in the house.
Hvis kjorten ville han få? Den bedste i huset.
The father's.
Det er farens egen kjorte.
Father clothes him in his own best clothes.
Faren, han iklæder ham sit eget bedste tøj.
So when the boy walks through the village, what's the boy wearing?
Så når drengen nu går gennem byen, hvad er det så, han har på?
Yeah. The father's robe. He's not wearing his dirty, pig-stained, worn-out clothes.
Han går ikke mere i sit beskidte, tilsmudsede tøj.
He's got his father's robe on.
Han har sin fars klædning på sig.
And how are the villagers then to treat him?
Hvordan er det så, at landsbyboerne bør behandle ham? With dignity.
Yes. Yeah. And the ring. What's the ring?
Og ringen. Hvad er der med den? Perhaps the symbol of the name that he regains.
Yes, the signet ring.
Yeah, det er seglringen.
And the signet ring, our equivalent might be the credit card.
Og for os der kan det svare til kreditkortet.
You would put your ring in the soft clay or the wax, and it would have the authority of the family.
Når man markerede med den her ring ned i noget blødt ler eller voks, så havde det familiens autoritet bag sig.
Yeah, the father is saying, my son still has the authority of the family.
Og han siger, min søn her har stadig familiens autoritet.
How crazy is that?
Hvor vanvittigt er det ikke?
Okay. This is my son. He takes my money, goes off to a faraway place, wastes it, and he comes back, and the first thing I do is give him my credit card.
Så her er min søn, og han tager afsted og forspiller alt, hvad han har fået. Og det første, jeg gør, når han kommer tilbage, det er, at jeg giver ham mit kreditkort.
And that's what the father's love, grace does.
Det er jo det, som farens kærlighed og nåde gør.
And the shoes, he says to the servants, put shoes on him. Again, significance of that.
Og skoene, som han siger til tjenerne, giv ham sko på. Hvad er betydningen af det?
Well, without shoes, it's no fun to walk in Palestine.
Yeah, and the servants were barefoot.
Ja, tjenerne var barefodede.
The son is shoe.
Sønnen har sko på.
And when the servants put the shoes on the son, the servants realize the son is now above them, their master again.
Og når tjenerne giver ham sko på, så er de også klar over, at nu er sønnen igen deres herre.
Now, what does the son do?
Og nu, hvad er det, sønnen gør?
The son begins his speech again, doesn't he, in verse 21?
Han begynder på sin tale igen i vers 21, gør han ikke?
Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
Og han siger til ham, far, jeg har syndet mod himlen og mod dig. Jeg fortjener ikke længere at kaldes din søn.
What's missing?
Hvad er det, der mangler? Can I stay as one of your hired men? Well, the father interrupted his plan and does something entirely different.
Exactly. And I think when the son sees the love and the mercy of the father, the son realizes the father is welcoming home as a son.
Da sønnen ser farens kærlighed og omsorg for ham, så ser han, at han bliver budt velkommen hjem som søn.
And the son forgets about his idea of being a hired hand.
Og han glemmer fuldstændig sin plan om at være en daglejer.
And he actually does now confess his sin. I have sinned against heaven and you. And I am not worthy to be called your son. I am not worthy to receive what you have just given me.
Og nu bekender han sin synd. Han siger, jeg har syndet mod dig og himlen, og er ikke værdig at kaldes din søn.
And the son is overcome by the overwhelming outpouring of mercy and grace that his father shows. showers upon him.
Og han bliver helt overvældet af den nåde og barmhjertighed, som faren lader regne ned over ham.
And so the son now understands what repentance truly is.
Og nu forstår sønnen, hvad anger virkelig er.
It is the reception of his father's grace and mercy.
Det er, at han tager imod sin fars nåde og barmhjertighed.
It's not coming up with a plan to repay my father.
Det er ikke at lægge en god plan for, hvordan han kan betale faren tilbage. Well, it says it is initiated by the son. He says to his father, and then he receives.
Yeah. But the father also runs out to him first.
Ja, det er rigtigt, men faren løber ud til ham først.
The father humiliates himself before the community and even before his young son.
Og det er rigtigt, men samtidig faren han begynder med at ydmyge sig selv foran det samfund han er en del af, og også foran sin yngste søn ved at løbe ham i møde på den måde.
So again, I think that is a wonderful demonstration of the father's willingness to again show his love for his son.
Jeg synes det her er et underligt billede på en demonstration af farens kærlighed og villighed til at gå ud og møde sin søn.
But you're absolutely right in the text. Yeah.
Men du er helt ret ellers i det, du bemærkede.
Gør der nogen forskel, at det er blodets bånd? Hvis nu der var en arbejder, faren havde haft, og han var kommet tilbage.
Well, would it make a difference that it is they are of the same blood? What if it was one of the workers of the father, and he had come back, but
well, again, I think absolutely it is the son. He is the son.
Yeah, helt bestemt. Det gør han for her. Det er sønnen.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done that for a hired man.
Han ville ikke have gjort det for en daglejer.
But this is his son.
Det her er hans søn. Well, you could also say that the treachery is the greater when it's the son who does it than the hired man.
And again, the context is Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees who are grumbling that the tax collectors and sinners are being welcomed into the kingdom of God.
Sammenhængen er her, at farisæerne og de skriftkloge er meget utilfredse med, at Jesus på den måde byder de udstødte synderne og tollerne velkommen ind i Guds kongerige.
Yeah, they're the ones squandering God's love.
Det er dem, som forspilder Guds kærlighed.
But now Jesus has called them, and they have heard God's mercy, and they come, and Jesus eats with them and forgives their sins.
Men Jesus kalder på dem, de har hørt om Guds nåde, og Jesus han spiser sammen med dem, han tilgiver dem deres synder.
They see his compassion for them, and it brings them to repentance.
Og de ser hans medlidenhed med dem, og det bringer dem til at angre.
And so I think we always have to keep in the back of our minds the context as well.
Så vi skal altid have sammenhængen i baghovedet. Okay.
So then they kill the fatted calf.
Så de slår fedekalven ihjel.
And they invite the whole village to celebrate.
Og inviterer alle i landsbyen til at fejre sammen med dem.
And why did the father want to celebrate?
Hvorfor ville faren fejre det her og feste? Han vil gerne understrege, vise, at sønnen var tilbage nu og igen en del af samfundet. He wants to underline that the son had returned and was again a part of the community.
Yeah. Because the son was lost and now found, was dead but now alive.
Ja, præcis, fordi sønnen var mistet, men blev fundet igen og var død, men er blevet levende igen.
And the parable comes full circle.
Og her sluttes cirklen for lignelsen.
Or this part of the parable anyway, sorry.
Eller den her del af lignelsen.
Yeah. It begins by the son saying to the father, I wish you were dead.
Den begynder med at sønnen siger til faren, jeg vil ønske du var død.
And this part of the parable ends by the father who is very much alive.
Og den slutter med at faren, som i høj grad er levende,
welcoming back the son who was as good as dead.
Byder igen velkommen til sin søn, som var så godt som død.
Into life, into celebration.
Byder ham velkommen tilbage i livet til fest og til fejring.
And perhaps at risk of allegorizing.
Og måske her med en risiko for at lave for meget billedsprog.
Paul in Ephesians 2 says we are dead in our trespasses.
Siger Paulus i Efeserbrevet, vi er døde i vores overtrædelser.
But our God, who is the God who raises the dead.
Men vores Gud, som er den Gud, der oprejser de døde.
We hear the word of the gospel proclaimed.
Vi hører evangeliets ord forkyndt.
And that word brings us to new life.
Og det ord bringer os til nyt liv.
In Jesus Christ.
I Jesus Kristus.
Just like Lazarus in the tomb when Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. He heard the word.
Præcis som Lazarus i graven, da Jesus siger, Lazarus, kom ud, så hørte han ordet.
And so we are perhaps like the prodigal son.
Vi er måske som den fortabte søn.
We were dead in our sins.
Vi var døde i vores synder.
But because the Father welcomes us back,
men fordi at faren han byder os velkommen tilbage,
we have life again.
Så har vi
my
liv
alarm
igen.
Worked today.
Og det var dejligt, min alarm virkede i dag.
We've got about two more minutes. Any questions?
Vi har 2 minutter mere. Er der nogen spørgsmål?
Yeah. Er der ikke nogen spørgsmål, men engang der gennemgik jeg den her lignelse i søndagsskolen, og så sagde jeg bagefter, at drengene og pigerne, de skulle have en spørgsmålskonkurrence, og så skulle vi se, hvem der havde fået mest fat i lignelsen, og da jeg så kom til det sidste spørgsmål, der sagde, hvem var det, der ikke var glad, da den fortabte søn kom hjem, så var der en pige, der rakte hånden op og sagde, det ved jeg, fedekalven var ikke glad.
Oh, that was precious. Yeah. Okay. And Lena said she used in Sunday school to teach on this parable once, and she had a competition between the boys and girls to see who had learned the most from this, and they should ask questions and answer questions. And Lena asked the kids then, can you please tell me who was not happy? And one of the girls, Martin, said, I know the fat calf.
Exactly, yeah. The cow. I always feel sorry for the cow. Yeah. The cow loses, always.
Yeah, desværre.
Exactly.
I
have a great illustration of this when I use it with the Sunday school children.
Og når jeg bruger den her med søndagsskolebørnene, så har jeg en godt billede på det.
And it's a whole bunch of circles.
Det er en hel masse cirkler.
And we fill it in with the story.
Og vi udfylder den med historien.
And one of the circles turns out to be a cow.
Og en af cirklerne er en ko.
And he has a big frown on his face.
Og han ser ikke glad ud.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it again.
Og nu går det ud over mig igen, siger ko. Ja.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow we go back to the elder son who we met at the very beginning of the parable.
Og i morgen vil vi gå tilbage til den ældste søn, som vi mødte i begyndelsen af lignelsen.
Okay. Thank you. Is it coffee?